Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to Our Fractured Mind Season 3. Can you believe it? I'm your host, Rachel Dick.
And I'm Jennifer Reno. Today, we're talking about mental health in the workplace. Why is there such a stigma? What are some ways that you can support your coworkers who are struggling? The difficulty of managing your health at work and the importance of creating an empowering workplace. That and more today on Our Fractured Minds.
All right, so we actually have a bit of news for you guys. If you did not know, Jen was recently picked to write an op-ed on mental health and coming out in the workplace for Ad Age. If you don't know, Ad Age is one of the biggest publications of the advertising agency. So congratulations, hon, you did it.
Thanks. I really did nothing, but the reason I wanted to talk about this topic is because it is very relevant to me right now. You know, one of the things I write in the article is about how important it is to create an empowering workplace for employees. So, like, what's amazing is I actually feel like I have come out of the closet more than once, and come out of the closet more than once at work. And what I mean by that is when we talk about coming out of the closet, we so often talk about it from a sexuality standpoint or a gender identity standpoint. But as somebody who's come out of the closet twice, there's a real stigma and a real fear about coming out as struggling with mental health in the workplace. Like, I was terrified when I did it. I thought it was going to impact many of the same things that I was afraid it would impact me for being transgender. Now, you know, just to take a half step back, when I came out as transgender, my fear was much higher than it was when I came out from a mental health standpoint, but it was still real and it was stressful and it was terrifying. And I think that that makes this a really important topic to talk about. If you remember from previous episodes in season 2, I was able to go sort of lead a conversation at South by Southwest regarding mental health in the workplace. I was able to do that again this year. It was an incredible experience. I loved it so much. But because of that, because of the article, this just felt like a really, really great topic for discussion today.
I definitely agree. And honestly, we really wanted to talk about what the stigma is and where it comes from and how we sort of navigate that when we're talking about, you know, mental health is something that can feel extremely private and personal and even sort of embarrassing to an extent, shameful if you've been brought up to believe that. And when you're talking about something like, when you're thinking about talking about something like that with your coworkers, it can feel almost like, why would I ever do that? Like, that just sounds so counterintuitive to fostering, you know, a good network. But in my experience, if you have the right environment, the support that you can gain from your coworkers being aware and from them sort of understanding where you're coming from helps tremendously when it comes to your functioning on the job day to day.
Yeah, and I think that's such a big part of it. Like, the shared experience is important. And we've talked about it a lot. Like, you're amazed at how many people struggle with this. Like, it's not just the people you see on TV, right? It's your coworkers and your colleagues and your friends, your loved ones, you know, sometimes family members, even people you live under the same roof of can be suffering from this and you have no idea. And it's so isolating to think that you're alone. And I think that's a big part of what causes mental health issues in some ways is just this feeling of isolation, like you're alone, nobody cares, all of these things. But I think that in opening up and sharing our experiences, there's this shared feeling of camaraderie in the mental health space. And that sounds kind of weird, right? It's like misery loves company. But just to not be alone can be such an empowering feeling because you don't feel like there's anything wrong with you if somebody else is going through it as well. And I think that's very important.
Definitely. And in particular in the workplace, I think there, I mean, the nature of our collective work environment itself is there's such a huge push toward productivity at all costs that I think if you admit to something like mental illness, often the wrong people can see it as a weakness or a hindrance. So their first focus is on, this is a wrench in our productivity.
Yeah, I think that's a really important part of this. I remember growing up, people would talk about how nobody cares if you're having a bad day. They want you to smile and serve them. And I agree with that, right? When you're at work, you know, you want to put on your best face for your company. You want to do all these things. But at the same time, that doesn't mean we aren't suffering inside. And it's important that we recognize that and we understand the differences of it and all these things, right? Like when we're at work, there's an expectation that we're always on top of our game. There's an expectation that we're always strong, that we have no weakness. I think that's where a lot of the stigma comes from, right? There's this fear of showcasing our own vulnerabilities at work. You know, mental health is something we struggle to talk about with our friends, with our family. It makes it even harder to talk about in the workplace, which is understandable because of the stigma that exists. But the whole point of this podcast, obviously, is to help break through that stigma. And I think that's another one of these reasons why this conversation is so important. Like the stigma is in place because of the stigma that exists in society. It's obviously going to exist in the workplace as well. But you know, it's truly a huge, huge issue. And there's a lot of reasons for that, right? Like it's a huge issue in the workplace just because of the way our workplace functions in 2019. Like our work is designed in a way that it is going to force people to have mental health issues. You know what I mean, Rachel?
Definitely. I was actually talking about this earlier. So many of the jobs right now, there's this expectation because the economy is so uncertain and people are so desperate that in order to even keep a job, you're often expected to work an inordinate amount of hours, whether at one job or two or three. I've even known some people who had five. And not only that, not only put all that work in, but to have a smile on your face and, you know, really give off the affect of, you know, loving and living for your job and just being so grateful for everything and never complaining and being a quote unquote team player. And that's mentally exhausting. And every job to a certain extent does require a certain affect. But I think that more and more what's happening is bosses are expecting their employees not just to put on a professional attitude as we have thought of it, but to really go above and beyond because they want you to have this overwhelming love for your job above every single other thing in your life, including your own mental health.
Yeah, like the advertising industry can be soul-sucking in a lot of ways. And I remember one of the jobs I had many years ago, the company would hire people fresh out of school. They'd give them a job title well above what they were qualified for, pay them well under what that title was worth, and work them 80 hours a week. And because they didn't make any money, they had nothing else they could do but work. And it was sort of a way of sort of working them to the bone. And you know, when we talk about one of the reasons why this is such an issue is because, well, shoot, we're working 80 hours a week, we're getting burned out, but we can't even take our time off. Like, how do you expect us to recharge and take care of ourselves if we can't take vacation? And if we do take vacation, we can't even disconnect. Like, how many people do you know who, when they go on vacation, they have to take their laptops, they have to take their phones, they have to take all of these things? And that's if they get vacation days to begin with. Like, there are so many people working minimum wage jobs where a vacation is never even a possibility. They have to continue to work for minimum wage. They have to work multiple jobs. So even if they have one job off, they're not going to get two jobs off all at once.
And I think that right now there is an increase in awareness of mental health issues, which is obviously a great thing. But I think that it's also turned it into a sort of like a marketing tool for a lot of companies that they can use to bolster their self-image without having to do the work. There was a tweet by a certain big company Not gonna get sued.
That's a good idea.
But they said, like, oh, it's Mental Health Awareness Month. You are valued. You are loved. It's okay to not be okay. And someone tweeted back at them just saying, you pay your employees $8 an hour, which is such a good point, because anything that a company can talk about how important mental health is to their employees all day long. If they're not giving their employees the ways to access mental health care, that doesn't really do anything. It's a way for them to bolster their public opinion and gain shareholder credit without having to actually put in that work to make sure that their employees are okay.
Well, and that's such a good point. And I think it brings up another point, right? Talking about access to mental health care, but I think there also needs to be this requirement of companies to provide access to self-care, right? Like, we talk a lot about mental health days. Mental health days, I believe, are a very important part of what a job's benefit should be. And what's amazing is you'll get into arguments with people. And I'm not going to say that most of them wear suits, but you can probably make that assumption, where they tell you, well, mental health days are called sick days. Cool. That might be the case. But how many places do you go where if you take a sick day, you have to get a doctor note? How many places do you go where your sick days are strictly monitored because of X, Y, or Z, right? Like, a mental health day is a day where you wake up and you're like, oh my God, I can't get out of bed today. I'm so anxious. I'm so scared. I'm so dysphoric. I'm so one of any number of reasons. And to be afraid of losing your job because of that and having to go to work and working through this anxiety, not only are you, you know, putting yourself at greater risk of severe escalation of how you're feeling, but you're obviously not going to be at your best at work that day. You can't be. You're too distracted by everything else that's going on. And this kind of brings back up that point, right? There's this expectation that we're always on our game, that everything has to be perfect all the time. And it just doesn't work that way. That's not the way the world is built. That's not the way we're built as people. And hey, you know what? Maybe you are one of the few out there who can be. But you can't expect that of everyone, because it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't.
And I think we need to accept the fact that as much as we are ingrained with this idea that our worth is tied to our quote-unquote productivity each and every day, I think that we need to take back that feeling of self-worth, and that there is value in who I am, not just in what I do. So even if you're having an off day, even if you are maybe not able to give to your job or to anything else as much as you could normally, you still have value. Your value doesn't decrease. Your worth to the world doesn't decrease.
Oh my God, that's such an important point, right? Like, your value doesn't decrease. And I think that's something we all feel sometimes, like, I don't have enough value. I don't have anything to offer. I don't come at these things from a good perspective, but you matter.
Yeah,
right?
It's an interesting thing, because think about it. When we're talking to someone, we're trying to get to know someone, like, question one or two that we ask is, what do you do, like, for a job? Not, what do you like, you know, what are you like, what are your dreams, what are your this, or that, what do you do? And I think that says a lot about how we sort of have this ingrained idea of, you know, it's the capitalistic sense of self-worth. And I think that's something that needs to be, that is directly detrimental to mental health, to everyone. And I think that it starts with us examining that and where that has come from.
Well, I think it's funny you bring that up, and I think it's a very good point, right? How we define ourselves often by what we do, which is funny because this entire podcast is about redefining what it means to suffer from mental illness, because as we talk about a lot, the media does try to define us by the illnesses we suffer from. And like in a way of trying to counteract that, we're defining ourselves by the work that we do, but it's not about that, right? I've talked to people who define themselves as a parent. I've talked to people who define themselves as doers. I've talked to people who define themselves as somebody who is working to support their fellow human. I mean, that's essentially what Rachel told us just a few episodes ago, is that she defines herself not by her what impact she has on her own life. She defines herself by the impact she has on other lives. And I'm putting words in your mouth, but we just had this episode a little while ago, and I thought it was an amazing, amazing way to define yourself.
You give me far too much credit, as per usual. I don't know. I think that there's such a varied scope of the human experience, and it's so easy to get caught up in our job as the entirety of our lives, because there's also such a such an emphasis on, you know, you have to, you know, your job is sort of, when we talk about ultimate goals, we're often talking about ultimate career goals. We're not talking about the happiness you want to find in your life. So we're taught that sort of a career that you absolutely love, that makes you all of the money ever, is what you should ultimately strive for, and you're a failure or incomplete if you're not doing that.
Yeah. One thing that I have learned throughout my career, right, is when I was early on in my career, I was chasing the next dollar. What can I do to make more money in my career? And as I've grown in my career, instead of chasing money, I've chased opportunity. What's going to give me the best standard of living, and not from a monetary standpoint, but from just an ability to enjoy my life? You know, like, what's going to give me the best work-life balance that allows me to function like a regular human? And I think that's something that is very important to consider also when we're talking about the workplace, right? We do live in a very heavily capitalistic society where the expectation is that you have to own everything to have a certain kind of status. And you have to have a certain kind of status to be worthy of a certain kind of job, which is terribly inappropriate and terrible for this idea of who you have to be and what you have to be in order to not just succeed, but to ultimately survive.
But I think that day to day, it is possible to carve out those moments where you can sort of step away from everything. For example, near where I am working right now, there's this park that's right by the lake, right by the beach, maybe like a 10 to 15 minute walk. And it's sort of, I don't think anyone else has really even discovered that it's there yet. And it's just like this amazing place where I can just go to for half an hour, 45 minutes, and just recharge, soak up the sunshine, relax. And if you can find a place or even like a song or a podcast or something that gives you that step back out of all of the noise that you need, try to find the time to do that every day, just to give yourself a little bit of sanity back.
I think that's really an interesting direction to take this, right? Like, yeah, we talk about mental health in the workplace, but how do you manage it in the workplace? And I think that's a really great thing, is try to find some of these ways to do it. And some things I've actually seen in offices in the past is a quiet room. A place where you can go and decompress for like 5 minutes, just sort of regather your thoughts and your feelings before you go forward. I've seen offices that actually legitimately have nap rooms that you can check into. You can take 30 minutes in a nap room and exchange it to work 30 minutes later. And I don't think that's a terrible idea. Like, you're still putting in your full day, but you're having this opportunity to recharge and sort of take a break and rest. And then something else that I actually just talked about today was this idea of a scream locker, which was very funny. It was by somebody who used to work for a very specific grocery store, and the grocery store had a meat locker, and the boss would say, if you feel angry or upset or you just have lots of feels, what we're going to do is we're going to rent out space in the meat locker. I've got this sign on the meat locker. You hang it up, You hang up the sign to say in use, and then you just go in and you scream your heart's content because it's essentially soundproof and nobody can hear anything. And I'm now realizing why there are so many television shows and movies where serial killers are doing their jobs and their meat lockers. That was kind of dark all of a sudden, but it's amazing how I just came to that realization. But anyway, it's still valuable, right? Just going and expressing your feelings and getting it out. Like for me, when I'm going through a moment, I often just really need to cry it out, but I've also had moments where like just screaming and just being really angry and expressing it is incredibly helpful too. And as long as you're expelling that energy in a healthy manner without taking it out on someone else, that's a good thing, especially when you're at work, right? Because the last thing anybody wants is for you to be extremely anxious or extremely depressed or extremely upset and not being able to manage it. And then you take it out on a customer or a client or a coworker or a boss. Like being able to manage it in these kinds of situations isn't just important for you. It's important for the company. And that's something that companies really need to recognize and understand.
And we see the ramifications of not having that time to yourself in professions the world over. I think part of the reason why doctors and lawyers have some of the highest rates of alcoholism in the world, because they're some of the fastest paced jobs. Often their workplaces are understaffed. It's an enormous amount of pressure, no matter what specialty they're in. So having that sort of that thing throughout the day that can sort of give you a mini reset, I think is infinitely important, even if it's not necessarily even if it's only for half an hour, even if it's for 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, it all counts.
And let me recommend not choosing your mental reset to be going on Twitter, because as much as I love Twitter, it's a garbage heap of frustrating things that just crank up anxiety levels. So, you know, just going to throw that little nugget out there for all of you.
I would also recommend not deciding to treat yourself to a glass of champagne right before you have to get on a call with someone. Not good, not fun.
I plead the fifth. okay, so that's a lot. We've already talked for almost 22 minutes. Wow, this has gone really quick. I hope you've all found it valuable. But here's a question for you, Rachel. What do you do if a coworker comes out to you about how they're struggling with depression or mental health, or just, I'm not on it today, I just need a day to myself?
I think that the first instinct is often to give advice, which is not necessarily the worst impulse in the world. But I think the more important thing is just saying to them, I hear you. This doesn't change my opinion of you. You know, do whatever you need to do. Do whatever you can do. No matter what you can manage, you will have my support.
I think that's important. And I also want to talk about how important it is to check in with your employees on a regular basis. If you have people you manage, go to them, ask them how they're doing, check their workload, check to make sure they're not feeling burned out, because it is so expensive to lose an employee. Like the idea of how much it costs to go through the ramp up process and the education process is huge in comparison to just keeping your employees happy, keeping them in place. And it like kills productivity. So going through these conversations, you know, managing workloads, ensuring that you have a happy workplace is, again, not just important, but it's good business.
And it's essential, vital even to keeping that flow going and keeping your business alive. It's essential that people can show up with passion, but that passion cannot exist if they don't feel like they look forward to coming in every day, or at the very least, if they don't feel like they're not walking into an environment that might be hostile. But honestly, I think the best thing that you can do is just to foster that collective culture of acceptance, because you can check in on them all you want, but outside of that, you need to make sure that your office as a whole really is a place where they don't have to worry about awful remarks about inner office harassment, or they don't have to worry about their coworkers, you know, taking advantage of them.
Totally. So my next question for you is probably the last one we're going to have time to answer, and that's this. What are the top three things a workplace needs to do to create an empowering environment for their employees?
I would say give them benefits that include mental health care, first and foremost. Let them know that that you are not going to pry if they say to you, hey, I need a mental health day, I need to go. Obviously, if that's an extremely consistent occurrence, you can ask questions like, hey, what's going on? But just kind of don't make them feel like you're going to give them the third degree if they ask for the time that you say that they deserve. And most of all, just be upfront about what you want from them and what your expectations are. Make sure that there's not this environment of strings attached and dishonesty that you see in so many workplaces. Just foster communication, and it will be far, far easier.
For sure. And I think for me, three of the key things that need to happen are, A, you need to establish a solid culture. Like, you need a culture of acceptance, like you were saying earlier, but it's not just about that. Create a culture that fosters good relationships, right? If your employees are constantly fighting with each other for position in the company, there's not going to be a culture of trust. You want to give people a place where they feel comfortable and where they feel safe, because if they don't have that, their mental health is going to suffer. Another thing that needs to happen is the ability to actually take time off. I've been places where the expectation is that I need to have my phone on me at all times. I've been places where I had to take my laptop with me everywhere I go.
Yes,
that's not a vacation. That is not a vacation. That is not time off.
Encourage work-life balance among your employees.
For sure. Like, if your employee is taking time off, have them leave their laptop at work, right? Like, yes, they'll have their phone. If you need them to answer questions, they can. Let them know that you might call them in an emergency, but they shouldn't be checking their email. They shouldn't be taking phone calls. Like, that is what a vacation is, because you need to be able to relax and take a step back and let your mind breathe for a few minutes. And last part is, you know, like Rachel mentioned, provide mental health services and care. And yes, mental health care is important from an insurance perspective, but there's also some other things that are happening now, like telehealth and telehealth services from a mental health perspective. When you don't have the ability to wait to go see a doctor, you can get in touch with somebody on the spot to sort of talk through how you're feeling, to sort of understand what you're experiencing. I think those are three very critical pieces that can help foster an empowering workplace for your workforce.
And most of all, I think this is the most important part. Just be cognizant of your internal biases against mental health that we've all been ingrained with growing up, through misrepresentations in the media, among other things. And really examine where those come from, and make sure that they're not affecting who you place in your employment and how you treat your employees. Because the last thing anyone wants to deal with is microaggressions that they have to pretend not to care about.
I think that's as good a place to bring this to an end as any, right? This ability to sort of reevaluate ourselves and our own biases, because sometimes we have to put ourselves in situations that sort of make us a little uncomfortable to better ourselves, not only as people, but as humanity as a whole. And as we close this up, I just want to remind everyone that we are not in any way experts or doctors. What you've heard today are our own personal life experiences that we hope will help end the stigma surrounding mental health. If you ever have thoughts of worthlessness or feel suicidal, please seek out professional help. You can find links to options on our About Us page at ourfracturedminds.com. As always, if you enjoyed the podcast, we'd love it if you'd subscribe and review the show. For each one of these that happen, we have a better chance of being found by people who need our message. Today, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and on Luminary. Thanks for joining in on this important conversation, and to Rachel for adding her perspective on the topic. Remember that self-care in the workplace is a critical part of our mental health, so make sure to take time for you, even when on the clock.
And remember, we always need a reason to celebrate. So today we're acknowledging National Chocolate Chip Day. Whether in pancakes or cookies, take the time to treat yourself. You have definitely earned it.
And there's no better way to self-care than with chocolate. Mm-mm. Thanks, and we look forward to chatting with all of you next week as we continue season 3 on Our Fractured Minds. Mm-hmm.